Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Before we begin today, it would be really important for me for you to notice that I'm pretty trim. Thank you. I just want you to know and encourage you in this. I went running this week. I did the Fort to Fort Trail, and I'm saying that only because you need to pray for me. It's funny, you know, when you're running like that, how close to Jesus you can be. I said in my little Facebook post, I said, I feel real close to heaven. And I wasn't speaking spiritually. I was thinking about my coming death. It was really quite a deal. But wow, if you haven't had the opportunity yet to hit the Fort to Fort Trail, whether you walk or jog or, you know, you try to dart around the bikers who were there to kill you, you should try it. It's just right here. It's part of our community, and it is lovely. And so I want to encourage you in that. And if you see me running there, just have your phone poised to 911, and that would make me feel so much better. So what is today? Somebody tell me on the church calendar. Oh, it's Sunday. This is good. Yeah, we all showed up. That's great. It's what? Pentecost Sunday. Exactly. It is Pentecost Sunday. So what that means is that it is basically 50 days since Easter Sunday. Man, how time flies. Pentecost Sunday. 10 days ago on our calendar, it was marked as the ascension of Jesus, that point where Jesus left the earth to be at the right hand of his Father. And today, on Pentecost Sunday, we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to talk a bit about today. In Jewish culture, Pentecost is also known as the Festival of the Harvest or the Festival of Weeks. And it was really a thanksgiving for the first fruits of the harvest. It was one of three main festivals that were held during the year. And during these festivals, it was expected that people would come from all over the area, from different countries where they had been dispersed, and come back to Jerusalem and to be a part of the festival. It is called in the Hebrew Shavuot. I've been practicing that all morning, and I don't believe it's even close. But you can look it up when you get home. It was a pretty amazing and important celebration, people coming from all over the place. As Christians, though, as I mentioned, we remember a time that is recorded in the book of Acts in chapter 2, when the disciples were gathered together in Jerusalem. They were in the room of a house when suddenly the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they are filled and they are empowered for the global mission that Jesus assigned them. The other thing is that Pentecost Sunday is considered to be really the birthing of the church. And so for us as believers, it is an important Sunday and one that we should remember and celebrate. It was after his resurrection and just before he ascended into heaven that Jesus gave his disciples a hint of what was about to lay ahead. And so if you have your Bibles with you, if you could turn to Acts chapter 1, we're going to start there and then we're going to be moving into Acts chapter 2. But we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 4. And this is what Jesus had said to his disciples before the Holy Spirit came. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Baptized in the Greek is baptizo, and the same word is used when we baptize in water, as is used here in terms of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptizo really talks about this immersion, being surrounded by or engulfed with the Holy Spirit, and that's exactly what happened in that room on that day of Pentecost. So it's in verse 8 that Jesus provides some specifics for the disciples, explaining why they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. He says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, the ends of the earth. So the assignment was given. And it's in Acts chapter 2 that we get this very vivid account of what happened next. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. At this point, had I had the wherewithal, I would have created a soundbite for you of the roaring of a jet engine. I had this in my head. And I thought that that jet engine would start just about now and you would all jump out of your skin. Because it would be so loud. It would be so incredible. So pretend that that's happening now in the background. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Well, this event occurred in a private house, in a room in a private house, but it was never meant to be a private affair. So the noise of the coming of the Spirit, it was heard throughout the city. It was like this curious invitation that was there, and it met the ears of the thousands of Jews who had come to be a part of the festival of the first harvest. And they heard this noise, and they wondered what in the world was going on, as we would. And they ran over to see what was there. And when they got there, the word says that they were amazed. They were amazed. And what were they amazed at? They were amazed at what they heard. Because what they heard and what they saw were the disciples of Jesus praising God. And the weird thing was, is that they were praising God in the languages of the nations of which they had just come. So the Jewish people who had come running, they were just blown away. What in the world has happened here? First, there's this incredible noise. And then they arrive to find the disciples of Jesus speaking in their own languages. And Acts chapter 2 gives you an extensive list of those languages. It must have been quite a sight to see all of that. It must have been an incredible sound. I can't hardly imagine it. It was so bizarre that those who came actually thought that the followers of Jesus were drunk. Like, it was just so weird. It was so bizarre. But the fact of the matter is, it was early in the morning, as Peter says. And so the disciples hadn't touched a drop. What had happened was that there was within this supernatural response to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, when God meets you in power like that, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. It's at this point that the Apostle Peter steps up. Now remember, this is the same brash Peter who was so often confused, who so often put his foot in his mouth, who had just about a month and a half ago denied Jesus three times. It's the same Peter now that stands before this crowd of thousands. This is Peter. He's standing there. And he's a changed man. He's a changed man because he's met the Holy Spirit in power, just as Jesus said would happen. Well, you know, there were no reporters there necessarily taking pictures, but I can just imagine that Peter would stand there before the crowd and he would quiet them with this new and fresh authority that was him given through the Holy Spirit. And after he assures everyone there that the disciples, in fact, were not drunk, Peter does what good speakers do. And he takes something that they recognize and he uses it as a grid, bringing them into a new understanding. He quotes from the prophet Joel. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So it's at this point that those who had gathered together begin to kind of put some of the dots together. Their curiosity, their wondering has literally brought them now to the edge of understanding. an ancient truth is presenting itself as freshly relevant to their world today. The word of the prophet, the reality of God's visitation right there in front of them. The inspired Peter has got their attention. They're listening well. He's connected the dots for them. And then he begins to present God's plan for their lives. Verse 38, Peter says this, Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children, even to the Gentiles. All have been called by the Lord our God. And then Peter continued preaching for a long time, just like I'm going to do today. No, I'm not. Strongly urging all of his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. See, in a single day, in a single Spirit-empowered message, some 3,000 people were baptized and added to the church that day. Pretty powerful stuff. Well, many would agree that this account is both incredible and supernatural, and most would agree that it forms the beginning chapters of the historical record of the Christian church, and that would be absolutely accurate. But listen, to stop there would be to miss the full significance of the event, because it was more than a single standalone occurrence in Christian history. What happened was actually the introduction of the promised empowerment of the Holy Spirit to all believers through Jesus. The completion of his mission. It was all about that assignment and the redemption of a lost world. In other words, this was not a moment simply set aside for the disciples of the day. It was also about an action of empowering future believers, including you and me, so that we could follow through on Jesus' assignment to us, the same assignment that they had, that we would tell people about him everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was the assignment that Jesus had, and he empowered his people for it, all people, all believers. Joel said that God said that this empowering was for all believers. In the last days, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, men, women, young, and old. Well, those last days began with the first coming of Jesus, and they will end with his second coming. And so that means that Joel was referring as much to us today as he was to the apostles of the time. It is for us. And let's remember what Peter said to the crowd. He said, when you come to Christ, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, this promise is to you and your children and even to the Gentiles, all who have been called by the Lord our God. You see, the promised gift of the Holy Spirit goes beyond the first generation. It goes on to all generations. To all generations. The baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke about in Acts chapter 2, verse 8, is separate and distinct from the infilling of the Spirit when we accept Christ at the point of our salvation. See, when we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit enters each of us, and he acts as our guide and as our counselor, as the Word tells us. But the Spirit baptism, like that which occurred on the day of Pentecost, is in addition to that initial filling. It comes subsequent to salvation. And it's given, as I said earlier, with a specific intention. It is given with a specific purpose, and that is for us to be empowered to complete the mission that Jesus has given us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that baptism of the Holy Spirit that occurred on that day of Pentecost was very effective. We know that on that day, 3,000 accepted Christ when Peter spoke, and then shortly afterwards, it was 5,000. And in fact, the growth of the early church was unprecedented. It truly was amazing. And it happened even through the hardest times and the most terrible kinds of persecution. Even then, the church continued. It did not die, and in fact, it grew. You see, the Holy Spirit was at work through men and women from one early generation to the next. Men and women who accepted the truth of Jesus and received the power of the Holy Spirit for the mission to spread the good news. And you know, since Pentecost, fully one-third of the 6 billion people who live on this planet are followers of Jesus Christ. That's an effective strategy, I think. And while there's lots of talk today about the growth of Islam in our world, Christianity continues to be ranked by far to be the world's largest religion. And so far, it shows no signs of abating. God is at work. God is on the move. And you know, there are some incredible hotspots of Christian growth. In Africa, for example, it's estimated that 50,000 believers are baptized every week. And in China, the number of people coming to Christ daily is in the thousands. And it is estimated that there are now today 150 million baptized believers in China. God is at work. God is on the move. And I should say that much of that growth is occurring through Pentecostal communities who believe and practice the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And while I'm on that topic, let me just say that Pentecostalism, the belief in the moving of the Holy Spirit, the things I've just talked about, is the fastest growing Christian movement in the world today. And I'm saying that not as a denominational brag, but to say it is a reflection of God moving through his people, using them and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to reach the lost. The very same thing that began that day of Pentecost in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came. The mission continues to advance today. God is at work on this planet. So what about Canada? What about our own nation? Today is a good day for us to talk about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Not only because it's Pentecost Sunday, but because I believe we need his power today more than ever. In comparison to Africa and China, those two slices, we live in a time in Canada when the church is losing much of its presence. Since the 1970s, the proportion of Canadians who never attend a church service has doubled from 20 to 40%. Many who were once part of a Christian community have opted out, preferring to seek spirituality on their own or not at all. A national survey conducted as recently as this past April, which was commissioned by the Montreal-based Association for Canadian Studies, reported that while two-thirds of the population of Canada say they believe in God, only 42% of those polled agreed with the statement that religion is an important part of my life. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We also live in a time when Christianity is being deeply and openly challenged. Loud voices in our culture criticize biblical values and condemn them as being intolerant. Believers like us are often portrayed as narrow-minded and even unloving. And have you noticed in the media that it so often delights in providing the world with stories of the fringes of Christianity that make people perhaps believe as they watch those stories that all Christians behave like that? I'm talking about the people that forecast the end of the world once, twice, or three times. I'm talking about the people who speak hatred. The people that speak not the things of the Bible, the stuff that rises up in them in error. But they're called Christians. And they're called leaders at times. And we are often brushed with the same stroke. See, sometimes in the midst of it all, honestly, it can be hard for Christians to stay on mission with all of the pushback. It can be hard for us to be courageous. But we need to stand firmly for what is right. And I would suggest more than ever before, the assignment that Jesus has given us is crystal clear. As is our need to be like Joshua, to be strong and courageous. You see, our bold and effective witness of truth to the culture is vital today, as is our faith that God desires to move mountains right where we live. Tonight, too many people will go to bed not knowing the eternal truth of Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, too many people will awake to crumbling morals and confusing standards, and they will spend another empty day not knowing the real hope for their future. We need the Holy Spirit. I believe that we, His church, are strategically positioned as light bearers in an increasingly dark culture. We, you and I, have been placed into this slice of world history with great purpose. With great purpose. You see, it is our time to be bold. It's our time to be creative. It's our time to engage well with our culture where it is at. Whether they are wanderers or the skeptics or the disenfranchised or the broken or the loud or the confused or the hurting or simply seekers of truth, our role as the Church of Jesus is to be there and to stand for truth and to share it well. Now, what does that look like for us in this culture? Well, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to investigate that. We're going to talk about the role of the church in this culture. What does it need to look like? How is it that we should be? What kinds of things should we be doing in order to connect well? It's going to mean for some of us that we're going to have to think differently. That we're going to have to think out of the box so we can engage well with our culture. That we can do what Peter did, and that is to use an ancient truth, but allow that to go through the grid of today. The love of Jesus for today. The fact that Jesus heals for today. It's going to mean that we're going to have to be creative. And it means that we're going to have to be faith-filled. As I end this, I want to return to where we began this morning in Acts chapter 2. And I want to draw some brief parallels between us and to those who were gathered that day in that room on the day of Pentecost. They too lived in a culture that was not so sold on the message of God's redemption. They lived in a nation that strongly pushed back on truths that flew in the face of their cultural norms. And they faced an assignment that was much larger than their own capacity to complete. And because of that assignment, God gave them the capacity through the Holy Spirit, which would allow them to do the impossible. We need to believe this because it is true. When Jesus sent His Spirit on the day of Pentecost, He knew that those disciples, to be successful, needed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And He also knew at that same time that we would need that same empowerment 2,000 years later
at 9095 Glover Road in Fort Langley, B.C. The empowerment of the Spirit for that day and for today. It's about impossible odds being made possible. It's about the people of Jesus rising up and saying, the impossible is possible. It's about us standing up and agreeing with Jesus, who said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. Everything is possible with God. You see, as an empowered people, we look to our land and our culture through a completely different lens, not the lens of one overwhelmed or defeated. What we see in that myriad of challenges and all of the loud voices that we hear is the hope for Jesus, for our friends and our co-workers, and for our families and for those around us who have never met us but need to know life through Christ. We see challenges form opportunities. And those opportunities are made possible not through our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. And those statistics that I gave you about Canada, rather than looking at those and being overwhelmed by them, let's look at the opportunities that we have. They also indicate very clearly that there is a very real spiritual hunger in this nation. And people may be looking in all sorts of different directions, but part of our assignment is to say, this is the way. This is the way. And we're not going to cram that down anybody's throat. We're not going to do it by being crazy and wild. That's not what it's about, but it will be about finding relationship with our friends and our neighbors and sharing the impact of Jesus in our own lives and doing that through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God has equipped this church, people. He's grown us for a reason. What we have happening today in our community is unusual in British Columbia, and it's unusual in Canada. It's happening in some places. We're not the only ones, but what is happening here is unusual. Why? Because God is building his church. Why? Because he has an assignment for us. Can we do this on our own? Absolutely not. I can't do it. There is no way that I can do this on my own. But I'll tell you what, together as a community in Christ, together with people who understand the power of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. All things are possible. If there was ever a time believers in this generation needed to stand strong, it is today. If ever there was a time in this generation that biblical truth needed to be proclaimed and guarded, it is today. And if there was ever a time in this generation that believers needed to connect well with their culture and lead in light and love, it is today. And if there was ever a time in which we desperately needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it is today. It is today. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray that God would fill us, that the Holy Spirit would come and transform us and change us. I'm going to pray that we would become like Peter, that we would know the boldness, that we would know the power, and that we would see the fruit of an empowered church. Would you stand, everybody? Before I pray, I want to let you know that I'm aware that some of the theology that I've just spoken, the Pentecostal theology, may be new for some of you. This idea of a second baptism, this idea of being baptized in the Holy Spirit subsequent to salvation, the coming of the Spirit that way. I'd be happy to talk with you some more about that. And in fact, I've got some books, resources that would help you with that. And perhaps today you're in that place where you want to be prayed for. You desire that baptism of the Holy Spirit. We would love to be able to pray for you. Maybe you're like me today and you've known that filling of the Holy Spirit, but you just are reminded that
that this job ahead of us is like impossible without him. And we need just a renewed sense of his presence and a refilling of his spirit. And God is more than willing and desiring to do that in us. We sang earlier today, fill us up and send us out. We also sang in that same song that we didn't want them just to be words. We wanted to be a people of action, oh God. And so, Holy Spirit, I would pray today that you would fill us up. Refresh us, oh God. Refill us, Holy Spirit, I pray. Lord, give us the power that we need for this culture, the power that we need to be the church that you have called us to do. Give it to us. We ask it, oh God, pour in Holy Spirit. Help us to explore by faith this wonderful gift that you have for us, this wonderful immersion in your Holy Spirit, this wonderful baptism in your Holy Spirit. God, help us to explore it and to receive it and to move in it, oh God. And help us to see our neighborhoods change. Help us to see our families come to Christ. Help us, oh God, to see the statistics in Canada move from where they are today to a nation that greatly sees you and knows you. And knows your favor. Oh God, come in your power, we pray. Come in your power, we pray. I would ask, Holy Spirit, that over this coming week, that these words would just resonate in our spirit. And that we would seek you. That we would seek your empowerment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.